Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody a testimony? Something good that's happened? Something they'd like to share with us? Come on, Ivy. Praise God, get ready.
Right, it's called God's Fingerprints. God has signed his signature across the midnight sky. His hands have placed the stars in space beyond the naked eye, on snowflakes, birds and butterflies, and waves upon the sea. On seashells on the sandy shore, his fingerprints we see. Mountain peaks and singing streams, the clouds, the earth, the land. Each thing living bears the stamp of his creative hand. In colour, texture and design, on blossom, bud and tree, he leaves his hallmark everywhere for those with eyes to see.
Right. My condition is called spastic paraplegia. And this newsletter is something what comes out about every 3 months. And just recently, it's really strange how I did this poem, because Grace knows all about this. I went through quite a hell of a time with this trainer training me. And it was around this time. I didn't know anything about this article that my friend Laura was going to write into it. I didn't know a thing about it. Anybody can put anything in. And I just got this thing in my head, and I thought, oh, this will be the first newsletter that we'll get for the year. And I felt like doing something for New Year, because I've always thought about sort of putting an article in, you know, like a poem, so something different. Anyway, this is the poem I put in. And I was actually thinking about reading this article out, and there's probably no reason to read it out, but that is my prayer. What I did, my sort of poem, what I did for this, actually, it felt like it put a blanket over the article that was in, because I spent a lot of time on this poem, and it's got some strength to it. Well, I felt it had anyway. Anyway, I titled it Moving On Together. And this is what I wrote. The new year is with us. What will it bring? Another journey we are set to begin. I can see this new year very clear. This HSP thing I will not fear. The mind can be vicious and then bring you to tears. May your heart listen as well as it hears. Words of hope in the winds I do now hear. My world a better place, I show no fear. Let me take this chance to say, may your year be happy, I will pray. Moving on together, a team we must be. Friendship, support and love is the key. It just kind of was a blessing when I did that. It just kind of, because the article was like a bullet wound, and when I put that on it, it was my friend, actually was a friend who said to me, it was her who said it, she said, that's put a blanket over that article, and it just felt like a protection. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, he had.
Thank you, Christine. I'd like to actually acknowledge to Christine, I have always admired that she will not fear or give in to what the devil keeps trying to throw at her. And I think that is an inspiration, Christine, I really do. It's a lesson for all of us. Let's not get under the circumstances, because we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And though things may work against us, God has promised he will always turn our curses into blessings. So let's look for the blessings and look for God to deliver. Praise his name. Anyone else with something to share? Yes.
Well, when Christine was here last time, I remembered that Tracy's son, Brendan, came in his wheelchair, and Ron was here that time, and he said, start seeing yourself walking, Brendan. And that come to me when Christine was sharing something last time, and I thought, well, that's what I'll tell Christine. I looked up the scripture, I've got it marked in my Bible. I know it's in Proverbs, I think it's 23 or something, 7 or 8 or something, and it's about seeing yourself. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever we think, and this is a mighty force, this mind, it can really bring you down, and it can do all sorts. So if you think in your heart and see yourself walking normally without your frame thing, that's what will become eventually. Just keep meditating on that and seeing yourself walking, and eventually it'll come to pass.
Our God is mighty. We need to work with him and see his delivering power. Praise God. Anyone else? Anything to share? I don't want to miss anyone out. Marie, we can't hear you. Come on, you're going to have to be brave.
Hey, I get a call in last week. It was a Wednesday. It's my sister. She getting an operation from the neck to remove the whole thing in the mouth to put in the neck to see if she can talk. And now she start to move in some leg and the hand just like that. So just keep in praying. God
praise
is God.
God. Yes, we've the got Lord. Some movement.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He hears the cry of his people. We have to persevere. Amen. Don't give in to circumstances. Perseverance is the key. Amen. That's how the early church was always encouraged. You will overcome if you persevere. That's what each church was told to do. Persevere. And I thank God for those who support us and encourage us and persevere with us. And we need to do that as Christine was exhorting us, together in love. Let's pull together. Let's encourage one another together. Let's persevere together. And let's break through. Amen. Victory. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else? Well, Graham and Jonathan are sharing with us this afternoon, and I thank God for that. And I think we can, if Graham's ready, he can come and share his word with us. And I'm sure that God's got something there to bless us. Praise God. Let's encourage him as he comes. Amen.
Yeah, I've been looking at reunion. That's this week. I had a family reunion. Friday night was a late night. Or should I say early hours of Saturday morning I got home. But I met people I didn't know. I'd never known this side of the family. But God was there. We had a good night. And there's contact there, and we're going to keep in touch. And I was looking at Exodus 18. I thought Andrew was going to go into it last week. It's where Jethro, priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, came to meet up with Moses. And he brought Moses' wife, Zipporah, and his two sons. And the place where they met was at the foot of Mount Sinai, God's holy mountain. And Zipporah made an offering to God for all the things that God had done for Moses and the children of Israel. And after the sacrifice, the elders, Aaron and the priesthood, met and they had a meal together, and they broke bread. And they thanked God for the deliverance at that time. Yeah. Because God had done great things. He destroyed Pharaoh's army. And he's been with them in the desert. He provided food for them. And water. And the clothes are never worn out. And we thank God for that. But also, Moses was, the next day Moses was sat judging the people. And when his father-in-law saw that, he told Moses, "You're not to do that. You're going to have to set elders up of to be over hundreds, these are thousands of hundreds, of fifties and of tens. And they're to do the work of helping you judge these situations. And one of the major ones that they can't handle, you are to do. And we, as an eldership here, as leadership, have got that responsibility to Andrew and to Grace as our leaders to help carry the burden, to help them prepare for ministries when they're away, to look after the fellowship, to see to the spiritual needs of the fellowship, and to bless the fellowship. And that's what I've got.
Thank you, Graham. Yeah. God has put the body together and everyone has a part to play. Whether you are on the leadership or whatever God calls you to do, then God requires faithfulness of us, doesn't he? And to do it with all our might and to give it as unto God. And it's a delight. And if at this point you don't have a particular function as such in the body, well, our responsibility is to come every week and give thanks to God and to be found in his house. Faithfulness counts for so much in God's economy. And he is faithful to us and he calls for faithfulness from his people. And I thank God for that. Thank you, Graham. Ready, Jonathan? Praise God. Amen.
Just entitled this, Weather in the Storms. I'm sure you've all heard of the story of the house on the rock, yeah, and of the house that were built on the sand. Yeah. Now, if we go to Matthew 7, yeah, verse 24 to 27, the story is here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And the story is paralleled also in Luke. If we turn to Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had not been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundations, and the torrent burst against it and immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was very great. Now, me and Claire, we've got first-hand experience of what it's like, and I know Mum and Dad have as well, to be in a building, a tent, when a storm's raging and there's no foundations to a tent. I know when we were in Wales, middle of the night, quite a big storm blew up, and we were in the tent holding on, trying to make sure it didn't blow away, rattling. And the next day when we came out, there were tents around that had been blown down, bits blown off, ripped to pieces. I'm sure if we'd been in a house that had firm foundations well into the ground, we wouldn't have felt a thing. We'd have slept soundly all night. But that night we didn't. But what's that described there? It's a great picture of, as well, of how we all face storms, but we're not talking about storms outside, we're talking about storms in our life, which are issues, problems, bad things that come along and affect us. There's big ones, there's little ones. As you can see in Matthew and Luke, one stays standing while the other was broken apart and washed away. It's like two outcomes in life when these storms hit you, these problems, issues, people, other people, things happening that are bad to you. And it can go two ways. You can either stand unshaken, firm, or you can be broken by it. And that's it. It all depends on where your foundations lie. It's not how much you pray, how much faith you have, how often you come to church, how holy you might be, or how many scriptures you can recite. Everyone hears the word of God. Everybody in here can hear the words that I'm saying. Everybody here has heard the scriptures that I've read. But it's actually the acting out, the doing of the scriptures in your own life that matters. It's, as I say, it's not you actually visiting church and coming and listening but not hearing. It's the acting upon what you've heard. If you remember, the word is a seed. This word of God and what you speak to and listen to from God, it's a seed. Now, to everybody, that seed goes into your head. But where does that seed go from there? For most, it may just disappear. See, like I say, everybody in here can hear what I'm saying. But it all depends on who accepts it, who really listens to it, and lets it go down into their heart. And once it's in their heart, it's fertilised by good soil. So continuing to act upon it. What happens if you put a seed into good soil? It grows, it germinates, blossoms, and eventually it will bear good fruit. This fruit is after you've acted upon the word. You've begun to live your life and do and be as the word says you are to be. This doing with the word is what builds your foundations. These are your foundations. If you are being as the word says, that is your foundations into the rock that is Jesus Christ. Once you have got foundations into the rock, the storms of life will not affect you. You will stand firm like the house that was built on the rock and not be blown down and broken and hurt by things that go off, what people say. So when you hear the word of God, when you start reading your Bible, don't just read it. Sometimes we can just sit there, I'll sit there listening and just say, oh yeah, 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 and it's just gone in here. And it's not penetrated in any further than that. Have you not thought any more about it? So when you come to church, don't just let it go into your head. Let it soak into your soul. Because once it's done that, it will start bringing the fruit. And once you're living like that, your foundations in God will be solid. And no matter what comes at you, what temptations or situations that arise, you will be able to stand firm and not be moved and broken. I were writing a few notes in this little book, and I was turning it over, which was quite apt. So Isaiah 40:29, it says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." Amen. Don't that say a lot? If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling down, sometimes you might have, you know, broken a few of those foundations. You may have been rocked a little bit because perhaps your foundations haven't gone too far down. But if you're feeling a bit weak, if you need a little bit of strength, if you've been broken a little bit and, you know, things haven't quite gone how we were supposed to go, go to God. Because then you can start building and repairing those foundations again. Okay, keep getting them deeper and deeper and deeper. Because unless you've got those very deep foundations, something will inevitably come along and rock you. Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you both of you for those words. They were both had relevant content for us this afternoon. Building on the rock, supporting one another, being there because God asks us to be there and to do. It's God says we're not to just be hearers of the word, we are to be doers of the word. So he's encouraged us greatly this afternoon. Let's do what he's called us to do. Let's build that strong foundation. Thank you, God. We give you praise. I was blessed this week. I've been reading a book, and in fact, it was last week when I read this, and I think Andrew perhaps shared it with one or two of you last week, but it really did me good, and I want to share it again. And it was regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. And we all celebrate his birthday on the 25th of December because I think it's just tradition that has taken us in that direction. But I've always known in the Jewish calendar it said he was born in September. He was born in the constellation of Virgo. And everybody thinks that the zodiac and the signs of the zodiac are somewhat evil. Well, the devil has done what he always does. He's corrupted them and called them the horoscopes, and that's precisely his version of it, is the horoscope. But God created the zodiac, and it's God's time clock in the heavens, and everything works round that zodiac, and he tells you what's happening in the world from that zodiac. We don't read it, we're not taught about it anymore. It seems like it's just disappeared, not a part of our learning anymore. But it's still very much in God's mind, and he still works to that zodiac. And it's understood by cultures, I think, more in the East than it is over here. And we know that the wise men knew that a Messiah was to be born because they studied the stars and they understood the times. We read that in Esther, that the wise men, they understood the times. They were discerning men. They were wise men. And as this gentleman who was revealing what was happening in the zodiac said, he said that Jesus, in fact, incidentally, that's how Abraham knew God. He didn't have a Bible. He understood him by what the stars said. And in the stars, there was the story is written of creation from the birth of, from Adam and Eve being created through to the birth of Christ and right through to Jesus' final victory as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed and he has overcome all evil. But it says, when you look at the constellations, you can tell the day that Jesus was born. And I think this is beautiful because it says he was Virgo, when the constellation was on Virgo from Jerusalem, she had, in Revelation, it tells us about the woman who came, she had the 12 stars, a crown of 12 stars around her head. She had the moon under her feet, and she was about to give birth. And in the constellations we said, this is Virgo. The stars on her head were the 12 tribes of Israel. And at the point, there's just one point in history when the moon was directly under her feet and she was clothed, it says, with the sun. The only time that could possibly have happened when she was clothed with the sun, when it was from here to here, to her knees, was on the 11th of September, B.C. 3. And that day is the first day of the Jewish New Year, the month of Tishrei. It's Tishrei the first. It's the feast of Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of trumpets. And the trumpet announced the celebration of the King of Kings. Now, does anything happen by accident? No. God had written in the stars that his son was to be born. The wise men were looking for the rise of the Messiah. They knew a Messiah was to be born, and they were looking for his star in the sky. And they knew that he had been born because the planet, which is called the planet of the Messiah, and that's the planet of Jupiter, and it's known in the Christian world and the non-Christian world as the planet of the Messiah. And when Jupiter was on the womb of Virgo, they knew the Messiah had been born. And from the constellations from Jerusalem, you could see that constellation, and Jupiter was directly over the womb of Virgo. And the wise men knew that at that date, and that date was the 25th of December, in the year 2 BC. He was 15 months old when the wise men got to him and came to worship him. And they went to Herod because they didn't know it was Bethlehem, and they had to find out when they got into Jerusalem where the young king went was. And they went to Herod, to the palace, because they thought a king would be born in the palace, and Herod knew nothing about it. And the crafty man said to them, "When you find out where he is, come back and tell me that I may too go and worship him." And that was not going to happen. The angels, they were warned not to go back the same way, to pick a different route home and not to go to Herod. But, you know, that's all in God's plan. And as he had planned the birth of the Saviour on the 11th of September, he'd also planned the visit of the wise men on the 25th of December when he's 15 months old. And I just thank God for the revelation he keeps showing us. It just roots you and grounds you even more and gives you far just this confidence that God is well in control of everything that happens to you. He's in control of what's happening in the world. He knows. You know, we need to watch what we do. Everything that God does, its date, its time is significant. We need to be having our ears and our eyes open to what God's saying. He still has his hand on this world, and his clock is still ticking, and it's still working to his divine order. Amen. Man is never going to stop it. He cannot thwart God's plans and purposes. They will be fulfilled. Amen. So get on God's side if you want to be a winner. Prayer requests. Pat has brought a couple of requests. One for John, her husband, healing for his stomach problems. She said he is improving, but they would just like to see that complete work done in his body. We thank God for what's happening so far, and we look for a completion there. Pat's mother-in-law, Daisy, is going to be settling in a new home. She's going to the rectory on Thursday, I believe, and she's thrilled about that. Pat just wants us to pray that she will be completely settled and she'll be happy there, and it will be home to her. Amen. Pauline's brought a request. Apparently Tracy had a fall in the garden. She's hurt her arm and her leg, so she's not with us today, so we need to pray for Tracy. Edwin has brought a request for Reg, his cousin. He has leukemia and is very ill. He had a bad relapse today. Well, who's God of leukemia? God is. Our God is bigger and stronger and greater than leukemia. We're not to be afraid of anything. Our God rules and reigns over all. So we'll pray for Reg this afternoon. Ivy's brought a request for Brian. He's had a stroke. So let's pray for healing and the kingdom of God to come and the will of God be done in his body. Helen has brought a request for Marilyn and family. George, Marilyn's husband, passed away, and the funeral is on Wednesday. So let's pray for Marilyn and the family at this time. And again, let's declare the kingdom of God come and the will of God done in that family's life. Amen. So let's stand and we'll all pray together. You lift your voice with everyone else and I'll read them out to you and we'll pray for them as we go down the list. First for John, let's speak healing into his stomach in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yours is the glory and we thank you, God. We worship and we serve a living Saviour. God, you love us and you care for us. And every detail you take care of. And we thank you, Lord, for the answers to these prayers. We thank you, Lord, for Roy's complete healing. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you, Lord, for reconnecting his limbs and his voice. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful to your word. And that encourages what we've heard from Marie, Lord, encourages it again for Roy. Lord, we stand in, put you in remembrance of your promise, and we thank you for the fulfillment of it. Lord, we will persevere. We will stand for the things that God has promised, and we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Father, we pray for, as Andrew and Dharma return this afternoon from Strasbourg, Lord, we say, let every connection be made easily. Give them smooth and easy journeys, Father. Let there be no hold-ups, no hindrances. Lord, bring them home completely safe as they left, so shall they return, both of them and their baggage, Father. Let them return in good time, in good health and good strength and good spirits. Lord, we're looking for good things to have happened in Strasbourg. And Lord, we say, let the seed that has been sown in that city, in which, Lord, that Babylonian temple has been rebuilt, Lord, let it that incorruptible seed, let it be sown into that city. And Father, let it overtake, let it swallow up that Tower of Babel. In the name of Jesus, let it be the means of bringing down that European Parliament. In Jesus' name. Amen. The kingdom of God shall rule over all. Praise God. Amen. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and it will fill the whole earth. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Time to give. God has given so much to us and we have so much to thank him for. Let's give him praise. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget if we still will be collecting for a while for Romania. If you have any clothes, wearable ones, perhaps ones that are not totally worn out, but any children's clothing, ladies, gents, shoes, handbags, belts, and towels, but not bedding. So it's on there, the list that we're collecting. If you can help, if you can have a good turf out and get a bin liner and put them in, let us know. And if you can't, if you can bring them to church on a Sunday, that would be great. We can take them back with us. If not, we can arrange to collect. So help us to help those in Romania. We're looking to refurbish the dentist surgery. They're going to paint it, re-equip it, and set her on her way. And she's absolutely whipping and shouting. We've located a chair, and I believe we've located a van for something like £1,500 to take it out. So we need about £3,500 to achieve the goal. And that's no problem to God, is it? Amen. So let's give, and God will give back to us abundantly, I know. Andrew set us last Wednesday a goal to read through the epistles of John. That's the letters of John, not the Gospel of John. They're at the back of the Bible. There's 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. And he said, I'll set you a goal for your homework for Wednesday. Read all three books and come and we'll talk about it and see what God said to you. It's all on love. So let's come and bring what we've got to bring on Wednesday. Let's discuss. Let's be blessed.
God will show something different to me than he'll show Ken and Pauline and Lynn and all of us. So let's be part of it. Amen. Yes, he did. He said, read it slowly. And as we were encouraged today, to read so that you take it in and that it gets out to, it gets from here into here. Because when it comes to here, you've got it. You'll never forget it. And it will be a foundation for you, a strong foundation that you can build on, because the Word of God is that. It's a strong and firm foundation. So read those epistles of John before Wednesday, and come on Wednesday and be blessed, because we have some really good times on Wednesdays, and the body gets together and encourages one another. And I tell you, it is encouraging when you all come and you share. We feel so blessed, and how God feels, it must be tremendous. Praise, we want to bless God, don't we? Graham says it's his mum's birthday tomorrow. She's 90. She's a miracle, praise God. So we thank God, Lord. We thank you for Graham's mum's life. And Lord, we pray that the kingdom of God shall come and the will of God shall be done in her life. That's the greatest birthday gift that she could ever receive. And we call that into being in Jesus' name. Amen. Let her be blessed tomorrow. Praise God. And we've another birthday to celebrate even today. And that's Mark's birthday. So I'm going to ask Mark to come out and we're going to whoop and shout and sing happy birthday to him. Okay? Come on, Mark. Praise God. God's been working a miracle in this one's life this week. You need to pray for him that God will, these next 40 years, he's 40 today, let these next 40 years be completely different to the last. Let him really start to live life as God intended. And you know, it's dependent on our prayers. So let's not fail to pray for him, that he stands and God will, he's made a way for him even this week and rescued him. And I thank God that he's done that, and I give him the glory. So let's sing happy birthday, Bill. Have you get to your keyboard and give us the right note?